Hi and welcome to Matrix Moments. This is Saloni and in today's episode, we aim to uncover the journey of building Daily Hunt, India's leading content and news aggregator platform. They are also the pioneers in the local language content and distribution space. Joining us for this discussion are the founders of Daily Hunt, Virendra Gupta and Umang Bedi, as well as Vikram Vaidyanathan, Managing Director at Matrix Partners India. Viru and Umang's successful partnership as co-founders is a well-known and a well-celebrated fact. We talk about the dynamics of their partnership and also cover the changing face of content consumption in India and how Daily Hunt has been at the forefront of each of these changes. Key milestones and strategies that shape their journey as well as the long-term vision for the company. We cover all of this and more in this episode. Tune in to part one.
Hi everyone, it's my great pleasure to welcome the founders of Daily Hunt, Viru Gupta and Umang Bedi. I love hanging out with them and it's a shame that it's taken me this long to get them on a podcast. It's probably because they've had like a big 18 months. Very successful, but also super busy. So that's why I think it's taking me time to get them on the podcast, but good to have you guys finally here. And I'm really going to touch upon the journey of how you've created this wonderful partnership in this podcast. Quick introductions. Viru grew up in small town India, across Rajasthan, predominantly ended up at IIT Bombay. Started his career with stints at Trilogy, Airtel, On Mobile. But honestly, he founded this company as Verse, I think 13, 14 years back. And I think that's his life. And I don't think he can remember life before being a founder at all. So welcome, Viru.
Thank you.
His partner in crime, Umang Bedi, also grew up all over India and started his early career. I actually had to brush up before this podcast at Sun, Symantec and so on. But he was one of the youngest country head or perhaps the youngest country head at Intuit. Continued to do that at Adobe where he was again the country head and ended up with a big job as head of India at Facebook. And then I remember making this intro and then the two of you guys dated or chatted for like a year before it became this relationship, and I always view this relationship as like kum ke mele mein bichde hue bhai, and suddenly now then they suddenly come together and they compare the necklace, the amulet, and then they came together and that's the relationship today. So tell me how this happened. Maybe Viru, start with you on how did this, the beginnings of this partnership happen?
Thanks, Vikram. And, just taking off from how we introduced Umang. So Umang was CEO at the age where I didn't know what meaning of CEO was. So when I met him, he told me that he became CEO at age of 27. So I didn't know what the full form of CEO was at the age of 27. coming back to the question which you asked, so Vikram, you were the part of the journey that, we took early bets on local language and mobile first. And from 2012 to 2016, we were growing pretty nicely because, India was growing at a certain pace in local language. We were building our business silently and it was not too sexy to be in the local language space, right? We all knew that in long term, it would pay off, but India was growing at its own pace. Then in 2016, Jio happened, right? We all know what Jio did, that the local language became very sexy. And the user base in local language in hinterland of country suddenly grew up. And the market became very, very attractive for both Chinese companies and companies from US. Unfortunately, we were caught on a bit of a unprepared during that period. And during that period, Facebook was growing very, very heavily and videos was growing. And some of the things which, we all spoke about during that period. And that's where I got introduced to Umang. And my objective of meeting him was to learn, what the hell is he doing in Facebook to kind of grow it 2x, 3x, and so on and so forth. And honestly, we didn't meet on a Zoom. Otherwise, this partnership would not have happened. We met face to face, he was having chicken, I was having paneer. when I met him for the first time, I dressed up nicely and rehearsed some English words because I was supposed to meet a Facebook CEO. And the moment I met him, he started in Punjabi and Hindi. So I think, you know, it says that, you know, if you start well, you know, half of the battle is won, right? So we established a pretty good friendship in some sense there. And we spoke very honestly about what each of us is doing and, you know, what each of our companies is going through. And I think that honesty and that openness became the fundamental, you know, thesis of getting, you know, being establishing a connect with each other. And we continued to remain in touch with each other. We continued to exchange notes. He was looking at what we are doing in local language. I was looking at how he's growing the user base and revenue 3x. You know, Umang Bedi being Umang Bedi, you know, he was looking for an entrepreneurial itch, which I could guess after a few meetings. And as we started meeting each other and dating each other, if I may use that word, you know, it was a very soft topic and you couldn't have touched it very easily. You know, only when he said that he is already taking a leap of an entrepreneurship and he had started a company in B2B space, you know, I kind of said, hey, look, bro, you know, India is a land where, you know, big daddies are ruling the space in the space we are operating at. You know, Daily Hunt is a consumer internet business, and that's where heart of Umang is. And, you know, Umang dwelled on it, he thought about it, and then we took a holiday in Goa. And finally, you know, I think that's where the deal was sealed, if I may use the word deal. But
I'm going to come back to that holiday in Goa later.
So look, broadly, I've just narrated the whole incident. Yeah.
So Umang, how did this work from your end, right? You had this vantage point at Facebook and then this company which you've heard about but don't know that much about, suddenly this matures into this kind of relationship.
Yeah, no, I think, let me start by saying that the first time I met Viru, three things struck me about him, which is very different from most founders I've met during my tenure at Facebook or at Adobe or, you know, before that. I think the first one was, Viru is one of those extra humble visionaries, okay? He bet on mobile only when the whole world was flip-flopping between mobile and desktop. And he bet on local language. Both of these were highly unsexy decisions back then, right? And while he'll never admit it, he'll always say, I stumbled upon it, Umang, and it just happened in the course of time. It takes balls to make those early bets, right? And that struck me with the factor of humility. Those were the three things, right? Making these two big bets and being extremely humble in that process. And what I realized in my journey of, you know, 20 years as a corporate slut, if I could call it that, is you ended up having fun, but there came a point in time when you weren't creating value. Most organizations for multinationals are reduced to go-to-market organizations and influencing some form of policy. You're not really making impact on product. You're not really driving key decisions that you could or should be doing. And that gave me an entrepreneurial itch. I turned 40, looked at myself in the mirror, didn't like who I saw, was 140 kilos, was not having fun, was spending half my time convincing corporate, you know, in terms of PowerPoint, and was just not enjoying myself. So I decided at the flip of a switch that I'm going to give up probably the best paying job in tech with one of the most admired companies in Facebook, and say, let's restart, right? And drive a mental, physical, and transformational journey on the business around being an entrepreneur. Now, you know, that sounds nicer, rosier, sexier now. But if you have to start as an entrepreneur, it is hard, right? Even the basics of the building blocks are hard. I think what happened with Viru and me was a culmination of a vision around three things. The first was, you know, this is a big boy space, like Viru said. It's dominated around the world by two large behemoths. And so what does it take to create a large multi-billion dollar digital media company in a market where the behemoths are present? It hadn't been done before, barring in China. And foolishly, we thought that we could go down that journey and do it because of the early foundation that Viru had built on Daily Hunt with the local language base, right? And so we said, let's go deep onto local language, but let's come up with that clear vision as to why are we doing this, right? The second bit, I think, which he very clearly harped upon was brutal intellectual honesty. What are your goals? What are my goals? Whether it is spiritual, emotional, financial, short-term, long-term, it was all out in the open, right? I mean, there was this complete trust, whether it was in Hindi, Punjabi, or with, you know, profanities within, I think that trust was built very early. And I think the third thing, if I could call that out, was Veeru struck me as a founder who didn't suffer from founderitis. And let me explain what I mean by that, right? Most founders are, it's about me. I know the vision. I know the product. I know the tech. And I know the market. And, you know, the sun shines on the ground that I walk on, right? That's what I call founderitis in my
way. I like this. I'm going to use it. Founderitis.
Yeah. But Veeru, it takes a lot of confidence and a lot of self-belief to welcome a brother later in the journey, right? And to have that trust. And, you know, it's easier said than done. All of this is Angrezi and, you know, English, but Veeru actually walked the talk. He brought me on as a partner, was open enough to take these big, bold moves, was very open to having me involved in every key decision. And I think that's the foundation. Once you get that chemistry growing, you know, the history of the company, the growth, all of that follows. But I think that chemistry or that bond, that trust, and not suffering from founderitis and having that ability to bring on a brother, and, you know, that relationship has grown. So I think those are three very special things about Veeru. And so, let's be honest, you know, he made my journey as an entrepreneur, he mollycoddled me into it, right? And I had to go and set up a company and do the whole nine yards. So it was kind of a blessing in disguise that worked both ways.
Absolutely.
So I'll just comment on this founderitis. And I've always found this remarkable about Veeru, where he's extremely secure in his skin. And he will say, I don't know this. And there must be somebody who knows this much better than I do. Let me go find that person. And I think that's a very, very powerful quality. I'm going to come back to this Goa holiday. It was not actually a Goa holiday. Umang was on holiday with his family. And Veeru said, this is the time he was going to go to Goa and make this decision. Let me also go to Goa. And Veeru didn't take his family. He just went on his own. And so talk about, did that pursuit help? Umang, I don't think he pursued even his wife in that manner, where, you know, he pursued her to Goa until she said yes.
So, you know, this is a funny thing. I have to narrate this. I was on I came to the meeting dressed very casually, and Veeru actually had a blazer on when we met there. And then, of course, he got rid of it, right? But it was really, really sweet. He just showed intent. And it showed that we want to go that extra mile to make this vision happen, right? And I think the foundation, you know, barring the Goa bit and everything, but the foundation that was laid in, I remember 2017 September, I resigned from Facebook. I was with the company till end of December 2017. 18 is when I came on board early on and it was Christmas Day. I so distinctly remember Christmas, December 2017, when Veeru and I met. And I think it was historic in its own way, because I think we got to understand, had tough conversations. We pressed about what all we could do. And I think that's the foundation, yeah, Vikram. I think he was just such a cool guy. He'll never go about saying it. He's just the most amazing friend and partner I could have ever dreamt of asking.
Likewise.
So tell me a little bit about what was the toughest conversation? And people expect, you know, getting someone like an Om Bedi on board, the toughest conversation would be about money, but it wasn't. I know that wasn't actually the toughest conversation. What were some of the toughest conversations on, you know, role definition? How did you build that trust? And maybe give us a sense of like one conversation that in your mind was the toughest.
So I think we started off on a little bit of a, where the company was going through a transformation period. And we realized that we had very big growth ambitions, very big plans, which needed us to be all in. But our ego, if I could use that Top Gun dialogue, our ego was writing checks that we could not cash because we weren't flushed with funds. And we were going about a pretty dicey fundraise process at that point of time. And I think it was, this wasn't a conversation. It was kind of implicit, Viru. I don't know if you remember, but you know, when Viru and I got together, it was on, we had this assumption that we're raising a whole lot of money and we're going to go all guns blazing. And we realized that that money wasn't there in a, you know, in a month's time. And so I think it was a test of our commitment to each other. I remember, you know, Vikram, over a drink, you telling me that you thought I wouldn't be there and wouldn't last out. And, you know, I'm sure Viru had his own doubts early on. But I think we both came together and said, heads down, you know, let's fire the banker, let's do this ourselves, let's raise the capital. And irrespective of what we have, we're going to make it work. I think, I don't know if it was a tough conversation or it was just left unsaid or, you know, I don't know, Viru, I'd love for you to chime in there. But I think that was an early start that just showed our commitment to each other.
So I'm going to come back to this going to war together. But I will come back to it. But Viru, from your end, what was the toughest part of convincing Umang to join at that point?
Fair enough. So we'll come to that part which Umang referred later on. But if you are saying pre-Umang coming on board, see, I think one of the toughest conversations one needs to have for such decisions is not with somebody else, but with himself or herself. Because having a conversation with somebody else is very easy if you are clear that what do you want from this relationship? Why are you doing this? And simplifying that thought process is not easy, by the way. It's very easy to say that, but it's not easy. So far you can, you know, reflect on it, introspect on it, and be clear. You remember we had these conversations that we were meeting a lot of people, by the way, right? And not for this thing, but hey, we need to grow the company. But you remember we said, yeah, I can't put a finger on it. Why this is not what I'm looking for. You know what I mean? This is still, this person will still do what I'm asking him to do. You know, I think this is a conversation, Vikram, we had while, you know, a lot of times, right? When we're meeting a lot of other people. So I think it's as a, you know, as a person who's responsible for, you know, at that point of time for, you know, for making right decisions for Daily Hunt and what is required for business, I think you and what you can do and what you can't do, I think you will resolve all that thing in your mind very, very clearly. And if you're able to relate to the person, that's what can get a person like Umang Bedi, you know, excited about coming on board, right? Because there's no job spec. Honestly, there is no role spec. So in my mind, that's a big
thing. I'll tell you a few things that at least I remember from that period of time because Viru was talking to me on the other side. One, I think the, you know, heart-to-heart conversation that you had, and it seemed very fluffy, but it is actually the truth. The heart-to-heart on what each of you wants to do in life and what each of you wants to achieve in life. I think that helped. I think the second what Viru said on just being very clear and just laying it all out on the table. Now that I know both of you much better, it is, you know, there's nothing left unsaid. And there was nothing left unsaid in those conversations at all. I would say it is a big deal for a founder like Viru to actually say, I'm going to carve out a lot of my role to Umang. And he just did it very easily because he was just so clear in his head. And like Viru said, we weren't actually looking for an Umang Bedi, right? We were looking for head of marketing, head of sales, we were looking for all these heads. But you saw Umang and he almost created the role for Umang versus like finding, you know, like the person for a box. And I thought that was fantastic. How did the org take it, right? There's a big disruption. There's one boss and now there are two. How did you communicate this to the org? And I must tell all of our listeners that today, if I talk to one of them, it's like talking to both of them. Because I know as soon as I tell one something, it will go to the other immediately. And that's how it works. So, which for me is beautiful. But I can see for the org, it might have taken some time to get there and also that transition period must have been tough for the org.
don't know, I'm reflecting on it, but I think one thing that worked was never imposing a multinational view of the world onto the company. Hey, I came from Facebook or from Adobe, and this is what happened there, and this is the way to get things done. I think that was something that, it's not me inherently as my nature, but I don't think I ever did that. And I think in the first 1 month of just learning, because the first 1 month of learning what's going on, you never impose that point of view. You just maybe ask a question, or, you know, go a little deeper, or think about Viru and I catching up on the side. So I felt it was very seamless. I know Viru may have enabled a whole bunch of things on the back end, but I felt it was like, I felt at home on day one. I remember calling Viru even before coming to office on the first day, saying, dude, I just love this badge. I don't know if you remember that, Viru.
You put a post on Twitter as well.
I put a post on Twitter as well.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it was just, and not that our logo is the sexiest in the world. It was just a feeling of, this is my baby now, right? And I think if you can own it that way and reflect it in all your conversations that this is ours with genuinity, right? Because all the good is also yours, all the bad is also yours. You can't run away from it. And so if you carry that equally on both sides, I think there is genuineness that gets created, and the org realizes it. And then they know that Viru and my relationship is something that no one can really play with, because we're so open and close to each other, that there never would be any of that. I think that was very foundational in the beginning. I don't know, Viru, what do you think there?
Viru, I don't know if there are other sort of almost like mechanisms or design principles that you thought of at that point in time, that you'll always be in meetings together, make sure that, you know, everyone is taken into confidence of this transition plan, whatever that was. And maybe it's really instructive for young founders in that.
So Vikram, I'll break it into two phases. You know, I mean, one is when the person just comes in, and one is when the person is operating. Then they're two different things, right? So when the person just comes in, I think the one thing was that, you know, the whole org was super excited. Okay, because, you know, everybody had seen the growth of Facebook. Umang had led it. Everybody was dying to copy what Facebook had done and learn, and wanting Daily Hunt to do well. So that was, I think that was the one key thing, you know. And second thing, big thing was Umang himself, right? While he has a suaveness of an MNC and a big company, but he's very entrepreneurial, you know, in his mindset, very hands-on. So the organization felt they're speaking to somebody like them. They're not speaking to somebody unlike them. And I think that's the biggest beauty about, you know, Umang, where he has seen big boys, he has set up shop of big boys in India, led them to a growth, which of course couldn't have done if he was not entrepreneurial in his mindset. And I think that's what, you know, went very well with our org. So that's the starting point, right? Second point is, I think our org feels the same way as you feel, that if they call one of us, they will hear the same thing. Or if they tell us anything, it will go to the other guy. So I think it's the same principle. Like you are convinced that, you know, that this is what is happening. Even the guys in the team are, you know, there'll be a few things which they will hide, you know, small, petty things. That's okay. That's part for the, you know, course. But broadly, all big things, you know, they know that it's going to seamlessly flow through each other. So yeah, that's the issue. That's the initial part, right? And look, in the initial part, you got to play your, you know, you got to play who is front-ending, who is back-ending in certain discussions. And that comes very naturally. If the intent is to make it work, and intent is to make sure that it's the right thing for the company, you know, you take on the flat decisions and do it, right?
Yeah. So I'm going to go back to that going to war together. And I do think it was like a defining moment for you guys in the journey. And I think it moved from, and it was, I think, week two, week three, or maybe because there was a term sheet signed, it fell through, it was a big term sheet. And suddenly it was a true entrepreneurial fight for survival at that point in time, if I can use that. And how important was that? Being in the trenches and seeing that commitment from among you know, for you to say, okay, this is my co-founder, and you know, both of you use the term brother.
So look, honestly, you know, I think that was a big defining moment, you know, you know, we were, I mean, the term sheet from one was one of the biggest guy in the world, right? Whom everybody aspires to get money from. And the deal fell through due to unknown reasons, right? And to me, the defining moment was how bad Umang Bedi felt. You know, what action one takes is okay, but I think he took it so personally. He took it more personally than I took it. And to me, that was, you know, and to me and to the organization and to everybody, to all of you as well, I think that was a, you know, a watershed moment where, you know, the trigger, I mean, that incident, what triggered him clearly showed the mental ownership he had for this business. It clearly showed the feeling and the emotion he had for this business and for all of us. And I think that was a big, big watershed moment.
That's actually well put. And I, you know, having gotten to know Umang, you know, this, when he takes things personally, yes, you know, a lot of profanity comes out, and then he is just like this, you know, unstoppable, yes, force, yes, that will go through any.
He's a tornado.
And, you know, that's the first time that I saw that, you know, unstoppable force. Umang, I know, like, today you love Daily Hunt, right? It is like you love Daily Hunt as it's your own. And how important was that trigger point for you in, you know, converting what was like maybe affection into like true sort of love?
Yeah, no, I think, see, that trigger point was personal because it was going to hamper our plans. And we had, you know, we'll come to what we had done, but we had redefined the mission of the company. We were making some massive, big, old bets on the foundation that Viru had built over the last few years. And so it was a very pivotal moment where had we not gotten over that hump, we'd never get to those plans, if you know what I mean, right? So I think the learning there was, and I remember Viru and me saying, hey, you know what? We're going to jump on a plane, no business class. We're going to fly economy all over the world if we have to, but we're going to ensure that we raise this capital, right? And I remember at times were tough, Viru was like, hey, you go for this one. And, you know, there was a complete trust in enabling it. I think for me, again, that shows the ability to trust someone else. I don't know if I would have been able to do it. That's the awesomeness of Viru. Now, that happened very seamlessly. Maybe we didn't even have money to get onto two planes, right? Because we were conserving every rupee. And maybe it was that. I don't know. But Viru will give you all his humble answer, right? But just think about it from Viru's perspective. To trust a guy flying halfway across somewhere to go and raise capital, and not that I was successful or not, I think that's another story. But just to trust, to me, that was a very big thing. The second thing that I think worked really well was our pivot in terms of a transformation on top of Daily Hunt, where in our first version, we were the largest vernacular-focused Indic language news aggregator. And we said that we want to become the AI-driven content discovery platform for Bharat. And what that really meant is we wanted to be the largest digital media platform focused on local languages. We needed to drive discovery of content, socialization and consumption of content that's not just informational, but it is engaging and entertaining. And so we had to explode content, we had to explode genres, we had to drive a new feed architecture, we had to drive a new discoverability algo at the back end, we had to drive more video, we had to drive hyperlocal. And on top of all of this, add a whole bunch of monetization, right? Because you're only in business till you can make money. And so we had those plans, but we had no money, right? So it was, you know, putting the first step that try and capitalize the business. And at the same time,
yeah,
get the team motivated, yes, to move towards this journey, right? And I think that those two were the big watershed moments. And I felt very much at home. I remember after 20 years, I got into the economy section of a flight and Viru and I took 7 of them together. And, you know, we slept like a baby even there. Like, it didn't really change because the beauty for me is I get onto a plane and Viru knows this. By the time it's pushing back, I can knock off. No matter I'm in the middle row of economy or in the first row of first class. It doesn't matter. So I think that humility on both sides to acknowledge. And we never said, yaar, ki business kyun nahi ja rahe ho. These were very unspoken conversations because we knew what was our cash in the bank and till where are we going to stretch it? So you don't even go into those petty things. Those are, you're larger than that on both sides.
Thanks for tuning in. You can also follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube for more updates.